Welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Praise God. Again, good morning. Welcome. Be encouraged this morning. God is, He is for you. Amen. You know, it's like, you got to realize that it is a very powerful realization and revelation that you are a child of God. You know, that's not just a little cliche to make you feel better about yourself. It's really true. John said, "Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God." In other words, it's appropriate. It's right that we're called the children of God. He did a work in us. He translated us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. He had us born again into that spiritual family, brand new. Old has passed away. All has become new. And you're a child of God. That's an amazing thought. And in the same way, we are for our children. Praise God. He is for us. It doesn't mean that when we miss it and do bad, wrong things, that He's for bad, wrong things. But He's for us. The same way as you are for your children. It doesn't mean that you always agree with everything your child does, but you are for that child regardless. You're for them. You're seeing the best. You're seeing them grow. You're seeing them. That's the way God sees you. He is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? You're going to have those voices in your head, those who are against you, but the voice of God is for you if you'll hear it. He's believing in you. So be encouraged this morning. And if God is for you, who can be against you? His voice is the voice that dominates our lives. So this morning we're going to go ahead and take a look in Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7 and verse 15, we're going to see the Apostle Paul kind of give us a little scenario that kind of is, you know, as we read it and walk through it, you'll probably be able to on some level identify with it. The Apostle Paul says, Romans 7 verse 15, he says, "For what I'm doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it's good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil that I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me." He kind of concludes here by saying, "I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Can you identify with that on any level at all? And it's a great, great question. And what this struggle represents a lot of times, and he goes on to answer his own question. And we will get into the answer in a little bit. But first we want to start the message this morning with the question. Because as a believer, especially as a believer, you're new on the inside, you've got the Holy Spirit on the inside. There is a desire in your heart to do what's right, but you find another law. You find something warring against what the scripture says here, the law of my mind. And what is that? It's the law of sin and death, which is not in my spirit, it's in my members. Or as the Apostle Paul here said, in my flesh. I know that in me that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. All right? This body is mortal for a reason, because of sin. And this body fights us for a reason, because it is mortal, because of sin. And so we're having to fight this thing. But yet there's a desire on the inside to want to do what's right. There's a desire to want to do the will of God. And a lot of times as we're endeavoring to, live for God, there are certain areas of our life that just seem harder than others to overcome. And a lot of times when you're talking about, a person's walk with God, you kind of see, it's so easy to see the two clear extremes, where a person is just kind of, they're frustrated, they're just, forget it, I'm just not living for God anymore, I'm just kind of doing my own thing, I've had it, I'm frustrated, all right? You would say they're backsliding, they're living for the world, they're just not even, don't care about God. That's kind of one side of the spectrum that you can think about in terms of a person's walk with God. The other side of the spectrum is a person who's really walking in a genuine, sweet fellowship with the Lord, and they are living in a place of victory. They're walking in the light as He is in the light. They're not perfect, but they're walking in an overcoming, victorious fellowship with God, and they're excited to get up every day, and they're excited about their walk and their sweet fellowship with God. Again, not perfection, but you're just in that place where you're in fellowship with God, and you know you're in fellowship with God, and it's sweet, and it's good, and it's wonderful. Okay? So you kind of we think about walking with God, you can kind of get one of those pictures off, or this, sweet fullness. And many times, for many of us at different times, we can be over here, we can be over here. But a lot of times what'll happen is we're kind of somewhere in between. We're close maybe even to where we want to be. But there are, in Hebrews it says, lay aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you. There are some weights and sins that don't easily beset you. You just don't have a problem with them. In other words, you wonder why some people struggle with some things. Because they're just not a problem for you. There are things I don't struggle with, I've just never even gone there, and so it's just not an issue for me. But there are things I'm struggling with that other people don't struggle with either. It's the weights and the sins that so easily beset you, all right? Those are the ones that you find yourself in this cycle. And sometimes you can see like you're close to this really good walk that you want to have with them, but there's a couple things that it just seems like they're hanging on. And it's not that you haven't done anything. It's not that you don't know they're wrong. It's not that, you know some things that are just not right. You don't even need a preacher to come up here and tell you. You could preach the sermon as well as any preacher, all right? It's not an issue of what you know. It's an issue of how to perform. How to perform. I want to do it, but how to perform, what he said, how to perform that which is good. I think in verse 18, how to perform that which is good I do not find, all right? I want to do the right thing, but man, this one thing or these couple things, it's just like my kryptonite spiritually. And I peer over there at the powerful life maybe I've been at one time or really know is there for me, and it's just like, if I could just get victory over these couple areas, my. I'm there, And so, but why do we seem to, you might go here and maybe you experience some things and they push you back over here because somebody does something, somebody says something, and all of a sudden, okay, now I'm kind of back over here with some stuff and junk. What am I going to do? Am I going to get free? It's a lot of things that can happen over here when you're really walking in a real place of sweet fellowship. The enemy will try to attack you. I like the word we had today. If God be for you, who can be against you? If you're walking with God, yeah, the enemy is going to probably try to attack your walk, and because you're a threat when you're over here. You're a threat when you're walking in fellowship with God and you're hearing what the Spirit is saying and you're opening your mouth and you're speaking into people's lives and people are getting set free. You might get some attack over here. And when you get that attack, you have some incoming stuff and you might find yourself dealing with some things that kind of pull you back a little bit. And so this morning, I really want to talk about those weights and sins that so easily beset you. Those things that you've tried to get free from 100 times, but you just can't seem to let go of it. Whatever your kryptonite is, whatever your Achilles heel is, or whatever you want to say, whatever that is, that's what we're going to deal with today. And I know this, I walked through this with you, especially when it's something you've tried to repent from, you've tried to get free from. Those are the things that we can just almost unconsciously begin to settle in and just unconsciously live on top of. Because we've tried and we failed. So this morning, I couldn't think of a concise, cute, slick way to title this message this morning. So it's kind of wordy, but I think it'll get the message across. The secret of getting yourself to repent when you really don't want to. All right. And if you don't know what I mean by that, praise God. That's awesome. Stay tuned in, though. You may need it someday. So, how to get yourself to repent when you really don't want to. Why don't you want to? Because I've repented a zillion times, and I just can't seem to get free in that area. How can we bring ourselves around again? How can you get yourself to repent again in an area when you really, you just don't feel like you can get victory in that one? You're kind of writing that one off. Yeah, it may be kind of keeping you down. It may be a weight that's slowing you down, but look, I've tried that. I've already tried that before. And so, you know, we've all, I don't know how to say, we've all bumped into our own spiritual stubbornness at times. And, you know, of all the things that can be the most intimidating in your life, it's not other people, it's you. It's your own sense of weakness and vulnerability and failure and just like, Because, you know, when it's you and you don't believe in you and you don't believe you can change, that's kind of an intimidating little place. And this morning, again, we're going to look at the secret of how you can get yourself to repent even when you don't want to repent. There's a way to do it. Thank God. And again, really, I'll just say this. My goal, this message, my hope, is that no matter what area you may be struggling in today, whatever that kryptonite is, that you are not going to be afraid of it anymore. That you are going to be able to come back to God again with that area in faith. And as we do it, we're going to realize a few things. The first secret to getting yourself to repent when you really don't want to is you have to, first of all, throw in the towel of your own ability. You got to give up on some stuff. You've been pushing some buttons and pulling some levers, and just it doesn't seem to work. You know, you've tried to do some things, and you just, as much as you love God and as much as you want to be free in that area, something isn't right. You know, when I was at Bible school, a lot of times people will dwell, and this is good, to dwell on the truths of who you are in Christ. Man, I'm a new creation in Christ. We talked a little bit about this morning. I'm a new creation in Christ. The old has passed away. All has become new. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God. You know, I've got what I've got in him. But what they would do at Rhema sometimes is they'd say, you also have to look at the in you realities. All right? There's the in Christ, who you are in him. But there's also the in you realities. The Bible's very clear about. Here's one of them. And we looked at this already, Romans 7:18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, in me, nothing good dwells. For to will is present, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. The Amplified puts it this way. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot perform it. I have the intent to carry it out. That's talking about in your own strength, in your own ability. There's a place of bondage and frustration and, you know, anxiety, weight, sins, and you want to get to this area over here of freedom and joy and release and victory and authority in that area. So you're trying to get from here to here, and you've been trying and you've been trying, but there's no power. There's something that just seems to defeat us. In me, I can't do it. I can't get from here to there. In 1 Corinthians 4, here's another in you reality. For who makes you to differ from one another? And what do you have that you did not receive? If you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as that you have not received it? He's talking to the Corinthians about those who are doing some things for God. What makes you better? Why boast as though you have accomplished something on your own? You know, any area that you're already is, you know, in your walk that you do have freedom, you do have victory. There's some areas you've bumped up against, and you're by the power of God. Whatever you're doing right, I like to say this, I always say this about myself. Say, whatever you see me doing right, I can tell you one thing, there's a trail of the mercy and the grace of God behind me that stayed with me till I got it, till I overcame. And so you realize that whatever's going good, sometimes take inventory. You know, praise God, I've got some strength in some areas spiritually. And that strength is not in me. That strength is from God. So it's not of my own. It's not of my own ability. Here's another one. Jesus said, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. I'm the vine, you message. Puts it pretty clear. I'm the vine, you're the branches. When you're joined with me and I with you in relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure and abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. And so the first thing that we have to do, like again, the first kind of secret to, you know, getting yourself to repent when you really don't want to, is you've really got to come to a place of just surrender. Okay, God, I cannot do this. I cannot do this thing. It is, it's just too big for me. I can't get free from this. I've tried to get from here to here, but I can't do it. In other words, it's really a place of humility. It's a place where you're saying, Uncle, I'm not squirming. I'm not fighting it. I am just saying, God, I absolutely, totally need you here. That's all I can do. And on your mercy. Because I've tried it, I've fought it, I can't do it. I had an older brother, and if he would try to get us to say, me and my brother Will, he tried to get us to say uncle sometime. You ever have an older brother that tries to get you to say uncle, and you won't say uncle? And they'll do things to you until you say uncle. And what our older brother would do is he would pin us down, pin our hands down, and then call the dog. And the dog would see us squirming, and he just instinctively would lick our face and lick our mouth. Until we would say uncle, and then he would let us up. And there is some, you know, you just don't want to submit. You know, there are some places of humility that you're going to get to where you're just going to have to say uncle. I can't do this. I can't get from here to there. I've repented a zillion times. Uncle. I can't do it. I've tried to trust God in this area. I've spiritualized it. I've prayed about it. I've fasted. I've done all that kind of stuff. But no matter how hard I try, I just can't seem to forgive this person. I cannot turn off the thoughts of what they did to me. Nope. I've tried. I cannot get free from this addiction. There's a desire that comes on me. It's just too big for me. I just can't do it. Throwing a grace over that thing? I can't do it, God. I can't stop worrying. I can't stop being afraid because I can't turn off the thoughts of what happened to me or maybe what happened to another person. How can I turn off this stuff? I can try to repent, but those thoughts are going to be right back there. How do I turn it off? How do I get free in these areas? Sometimes the thing you can't turn off is hating yourself. I just cannot stop being angry with myself because those thoughts of condemnation are just always there. I know you want me to be free, and I know I could be free. I just cannot stop the thoughts. I pray a prayer, I do some things, but those thoughts just keep coming, which show that I just can't get free from that thing. And so throwing in the towel is basically just saying, look, this is one that's familiar, but I'm just declaring, God, I can't do this in my own strength. And here's the kind of the, I love this verse that I think ties it together. 1 Peter 5 says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. How do I humble myself? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And New Living puts verse 7 this way. It says, give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. Give all your worries and cares to God, for he cares about what happens to you. All right? So again, the whole point of this part of the secret of getting yourself to repent is realizing that you are not, this is not another promise to never do that again. That's what keeps you from repenting. This is really quite the opposite. You're saying, here I am again, Lord. Here we go again. And I'm casting the fear of failure over on you. I'm casting the fear of it not working again over on you. I'm casting the care of not being able over on you. I know I can't do this in myself. I know I can't do this in my strength. But this is taking the pressure of perfection off the table. This may be a process here. And I am just ready and willing. I am just ready to be free. Somebody said, you really don't change until you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. And sometimes you just come to those places where it's like, I want to be free. And I just, you know, but you realize that if you're going to repent, you're going to have to start with not a promise that you'll never do it again. You're going to start with, God, here I am. I need your grace. I need your help. I can't get from here to there by living right, by doing right. I need something. I need something. I need you. It is a humbling of yourself. And remember, this is for you. This is the secret of getting yourself to repent when you don't really want to. So first off, you don't want to run yourself off. Be gentle with yourself. You know how sensitive that area is. So remember, praise God. First thing I'm doing is I'm just saying, God, here I am. Help me. I'm not trying to live right now. I'm just here for grace to help me. That's all. That's the first thing I'm doing. Realizing my need for God and total dependence on you. God, I can't do it. Now, here's the deal. When I'm in that place, what's the next thing I do? And this isn't just anything. This is your kryptonite. We're talking about the place you don't want to go to, the place you don't want to repent from. All right? You don't want to. But you are by faith going to look at it again this morning. And as you look at it again this morning, you're not looking at it with the promise of never doing it again. You're just looking at it with a total realization of your dependency upon God to get free from it. Here we go, starting point. The next thing, the next secret, I want to say, is just do one thing. All right? This is not a 12-step program. This is going to be very simple this morning. You will not lose track or be confused with what you can do to be free. I remember being in a place here where you got those thoughts, whatever the area of those thoughts where we talked about some. It could be an area of bitterness. It could be an area of addiction. It could be an area of condemnation or fear, those thoughts. It's like, God, how do I stop these thoughts? You know? Well, how can I stop these thoughts from just constantly grating? It's that kryptonite thing. I prayed that, just very honestly, candidly, from that place of God, help me. And God answered my prayer. And he answered it with the scripture. It might have been the next morning or the following morning. It was one or two mornings after I prayed the prayer. But when I woke up that morning, this was the scripture that he quickened to me. Galatians 6, 7 through 8. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. I know that scripture. I've quoted that scripture. I don't know how many times. But the spin that the Lord put on that scripture for me that really that answered my question was this. He put it this way. He said, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. So to the Spirit, you'll have the Spirit reap life. But he just spoke this so clearly in my heart. It was like the twilight hours of the morning, and I'm just hearing it so clear. He said, if you sow to the Spirit, if you sow to the flesh, you will have ears to hear what the flesh is saying. If you sow to the Spirit, you will have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. If you don't like what you're hearing, then change what you're sowing. And I knew exactly what he meant. I mean, this is why we can be in a perpetual, almost this perpetual state of bondage in some areas, because we keep sowing to those areas and we just keep reaping in those areas. Because we have ears to hear. When you begin to sow to the flesh, you hear what the flesh is saying. You connect. You get on the wavelength. When you sow to the Spirit, you change frequencies and you begin to hear what the Spirit is saying. And so
the one thing that we can do, no matter what it is that you're dealing with, no matter what that kryptonite is, I'm talking about the hard stuff this morning. I'm talking about the places you don't want to go. To go there, as you're hearing this. The one thing you can do is you can sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Now, what does that mean? Sow to the Spirit. Sow to the Spirit. Well, here's what it means. Basically, what we're going to be doing is we are going to be looking to the Word of God. Here, take a look at the scripture, Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division and soul and spirit of joints and marrow. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. These are the things that the Word of God is. Here it is in the Amplified. For the word that God speaks is alive and full of power, making it active, operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating to the dividing line of the breath of life, soul, and the immortal spirit of joints and marrow and of the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and sifting and analyzing and judging the very thoughts and the purposes of our heart. The Word of God is powerful. The Word of God is alive. Okay? The scripture says this word has power. It's not emotional, inspirational power. It's power in your life. It's power to give you victory. Here's another scripture along these lines. I'm going to put these two scriptures together, and we'll kind of finish the point of what we mean by sowing to the Spirit. This is Peter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power, okay, there's that word power again, has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. In other words, you could say, God has given us power for everything that pertains to life and godliness. You're natural and you're spiritual. You have divine power for everything that pertains to life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which knowledge have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. All right? That through these promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. What the scripture tells us is, yeah, we know there's all kinds of corrupting things in the world that plays on our lust, that pulls us down, that keeps us back. But God has given us power through his knowledge that he's put into promises. That through these promises, what happens? You partake of the divine nature. You have the divine nature in you when you're born again. But there's something about the Word of God that will cause you to partake of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so what we're talking about is we're going to just be doing one thing. We're going to be doing one thing. It's going to be so simple. But Pastor Ed, you know how complicated this is, how complicated this relationship issue is, how you don't really know exactly what happened. You don't really know all that kind of stuff. I can tell you one thing about that thing, whatever it is. There is divine power that pertains to life and godliness that can give you the power to overcome whatever that thing is. And here is, again, almost kind of a different perception on maybe how we think about how this would work. What I'm going to do is, instead of trying to get from here, my kryptonite, to a place of here and freedom, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to play that game anymore. I'm done with that. I played it enough times and lost. I'm going to play a different game. I'm going to play the sowing to the Spirit game. Just one thing. Very uncomplicated. Instead of trying to get from here to there, I'm going to go from here to here. I'm just going to begin to sow to the Spirit. I'm going to believe that I don't have the power in myself to do anything, but I believe there's power in those promises that is going to give me the power and the strength that I need. And as the Word of God gives me the power and the strength here, as I'm doing this part, all I'm doing is sowing to the Spirit, God, by the power of his Spirit, will cause me to get to here. Only God can do this. I can do that. God does this. I was trying to do the whole thing. God doesn't call us to do the whole thing. He calls us to sow to the Spirit. He calls us to look up. He calls us to trust him. And when we do our part, he does his part. It's amazing. And as we do our part, what I want to do is I just want to give you kind of a quick, um, a quick little exercise in how this would look in real life. We like to say at Door of Life is where faith meets real life. Well, these are kind of an interesting sounding principle, sowing to the Spirit. What does that look like? Let's say, for example, one of those things over here is a relationship issue. You just can't seem to stop the anger and the bitterness and the hatred and that kind of stuff. How do you make those thoughts stop? Here's what you do. You begin to do what the Word of God says. You begin to get the Word, that's powerful, those promises. You begin to get those promises in your heart and in your mind. Here's an exercise of what this would look like in real life. Dealing with love. And this is just the area of forgiveness. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. This is Jesus talking. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. What are you doing here? You are literally turning the channel. You're beginning to say, nope, this is what God's Word says. This is what God's Word says. No matter, I can be in the middle of a situation where I'm just thinking, here are those thoughts come again. And I'm saying, nope, here we go. Jesus said, you have heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There's something about those words. There's something about those thoughts. You know, the Bible said when Jesus spoke and he preached, people took note of Jesus because he wasn't like the other preachers. He spoke as one having authority. There's authority in these words that you will not get in the Reader's Digest or Time Magazine or any periodical of human thinking. There's power in these words. Let's take a look at another one. We're going to just go through three of them. Colossians says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. Wow. Put on. You'll notice it says put on. It's not naturally on. It's something that you are putting on. It is something that you're saying, okay, God, here we go. I'm going to show mercy. I'm going to show grace. I'm going to show kindness, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And there's something about that offense or whatever it is that you're running through your mind. You look at the word, it says, if anyone has a complaint against another, I have a complaint against another. What about it? Even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. There is power in that. There's power in those words. And finally, he says, repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, these can be scriptures on a Sunday morning that you hear once and go off. Or these can be scriptures that you take time and hide in your heart. And I'm just saying, the way from here to here is going to come through the Word of God. Why is that? Because the power is in the knowledge. The knowledge is in the promises. And what happens is when you know what the Scripture calls repentance. You know, repentance doesn't even technically mean to change a behavior. It literally means to change your mind. It means to change your mind. So I think Joyce Meyer put it like this. Where the mind goes, the man will follow. And so what God is getting you to do, he's getting you to change the way you think. And this isn't mind over matter. This is the power of God over that law of sin and death in your body. But there is an answer to it. There is the power of God that gives you the ability to overcome. As you look at these scriptures, you shall love your neighbor. You shall love your neighbor. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. The first time you see those words, you might be thinking, yeah, but you don't get it. Yeah, but you don't get it. Keep your mind on these words and tell yourself, this is the Word of God. This is the Word of God. Meditate on these words. When you do that, something will happen. The one who wrote and inspired those words, the Holy Spirit in you, will begin to say, yes, amen. That's right. These words are true. These words are true. I'm not trying to live right. I'm just trying to think right now. All right? I'm just trying to come into agreement with what God says. something happens when you just take this step. Remember, or it says, sow to the Spirit. When you begin to sow to the Spirit, you'll begin to hear what the Spirit is saying. You'll begin to have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. Not only will you set your mind and you just begin to meditate on these scriptures, God will begin to further expound and speak to you and show you why things are the way they are. The power of God in this word will begin to change your heart and will give you strength. That's what we read about here. We see that the word of God is, that speaks is alive and full of power. Yeah, that's great. Good for the word. But when I get that word in me, that power gets on the inside of me too, just as 2 Peter said it would, and caused me to be a partaker of the divine nature. This is such an important aspect. When we take this word, and I'm just saying, it is miraculous. This is not like a step program, da-da-da-da-da. This is your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to take scripture, put it in your heart, and you begin to stir it up in your heart. This isn't, God didn't set this in the Word of God for preachers to do. God didn't give us this for preachers to preach about. God gave us this as believers to have the Word of God in our hearts, to live, and to have that power in our hearts to set us free. And so this is what happens ultimately, what Romans 12 said would happen. I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Okay, how am I going to do that? Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Don't be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after, adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in his sight for you. There's a transforming that takes place by the renewing of your mind. Now, as we do this, that word that you can see up there in verse 2, be transformed, that's literally the word that we would get metamorphosis from. The same word that we would describe a caterpillar being transformed into a butterfly. There's a metamorphosis that takes place by the renewing of your mind. In other words, when I'm here and I'm causing those scriptures, in this case, those three scriptures, I mean, you do the work, all right, of getting those scriptures in your heart and in your mind. Does that mean that I got to take some time with the Bible and really look at those things and get them in me? Yeah. Yeah, it does. And you're going to start out by getting them in you, and pretty soon they're going to be in you. And when you're over here and those thoughts are coming and you're sowing to the Spirit, you're going to have something in you that's going to rise up. The Word of God will rise up in you. If you're over here and the Word isn't dwelling in you, all you've got is your theology. Oh, I got to forgive. Yeah, I remember. I know, I got to forgive. I know, I got to forgive. You got a nagging theology over here. But here, you have the word in you. No, it's not just that I got to forgive. Jesus was very pointed and very clear. He said, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. The word doesn't engage you in a pity party, does it? It's not ungodly counsel. It's godly counsel. And all of a sudden, when you're in here and you got the Holy Spirit in you, you get to discern godly counsel from ungodly counsel. Ungodly counsel will keep you stuck there forever. Godly counsel will get you moving someplace. Because you realize these aren't just words, they're not just commands. There's power in these words. And this is a supernatural thing. When you begin to think God's thoughts, praise God, there is power. There is power in his word. And that power gets in you. And I can't fully explain it. You got to remember, it's sowing. It's sowing. This is not a McDonald's drive-thru of instant victory. This is a sowing to the Spirit. This is a problem area of my life, and I'm beginning to take the exact opposite thing that God says, and I'm beginning to sow it into my heart and into my mind. And as I do it, something is happening. And here's the final aspect of this. You're just doing one thing, okay? The final point is this. Keep doing that one thing. I told you this was going to be simple. Painfully simple. But you'll notice with God, it's in the simplicity that things happen. We almost kind of like things to be a little complicated sometimes so we can kind of take credit for having figured it out. But with God, it's just the opposite. You think of it, his ways have to be so simple that anybody on any intellectual level can do it. And in fact, the Bible says God hasn't chosen the wise. He's chosen the foolish things of this world that confound the wise. You could have, you know, intellectually IQ level, you know, you could be on the lower end, but as far as freedom, you can be on the high end. Just simple trust in God. And the wise are confounded by it. You know, it doesn't he have enough sense to worry? Doesn't he have enough sense? And he's just free. But there's a humility that starts out with God. But what I want to do is I want to return to this verse, but we're going to take a look at the original scripture that we had about sowing and reaping. We're going to look at the very next verse after it too. It says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. He who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." But it goes on to say this, "And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." You can't leave that. I don't say keep doing the one thing. I can be here, and I can be saying what I believe God wants me to say, and I'm just not feeling it. I am not feeling it. In fact, I might have just blown it again. And the last thing in the world I feel like doing and want to do is going up to get to this point and being able to just sow to the Spirit and sow to the Spirit and sow to the Spirit. In fact, you can be down. You're knocked down, and you're looking at the concept of sowing to the Spirit, and you run the math in your mind and say, oh, there's no point. I'll tell you what. I love what the message says. Let us not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. If we don't give up or quit. I'm doing one thing. I'm just sowing to the Spirit. I'm sowing to the Spirit. God, you're going to have to do the work. You're going to have to do the work in my heart, my spirit. Your word has the power. I don't have the power. I don't have the power to perform. I've been here. But you're doing something in me. There's a transforming by the renewing of my mind. And I can do this. I can do this thing in God. But he says, don't be weary while doing good. So when you're down, especially when you're down, you think, oh, I'm going to do that. You know, I've tried that before. When you begin to get up again and say, okay, God, here's what you said in your word. God sees that. And you'll be amazed sometimes when you just choose to not give up and keep going, breakthroughs that you'll have in your spirit. If you don't give up, if you don't faint, keep sowing. Because it's not just a matter of sowing. There's a reaping, right? But here's the deal. Paul put it this way in Corinthians. He said, you know, one waters, you know, one sows, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. God causes, and that's the thing that we've had to humble ourselves over here and say, I can do this, but only God can do that. And as I'm sowing to the Spirit, I'm sowing with an expectancy of a harvest. I do it. And I'm going to tell you something, if you haven't done this before, if this just sounds like some, you know, quirky little deal, you got to realize this is the way we are meant to live. We are meant to live, not by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. There is power in that word. There is power in that word when you let it get on the inside of you. And the power produces the strength to do it, just like 2 Peter said it would. The promises will cause us to escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. And we're in a place here where we've escaped by the power of the word. Now, let's take a look at a couple other scriptures along the line. Jesus said this. Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If you abide in my word, this is that continuance. You'll know the truth. The truth will make you. The truth will make you free. The word will make you free. Then Jesus turned to the Jews. This is the message. Who'd claimed to believe in him. If you stick with this, living out what I tell you, you're my disciples for sure. Then you'll experience for yourselves the truth, and the truth will free you. You see, when you get in this place of sowing to the Spirit, this is not a mundane rat-tat-tat thing. This is a place of fellowship with God. You're going to find yourself realizing that, you know what, Lord, here we go. I've got those three scriptures. I got them in me. You know, Matthew 5, 43 through 44, Romans 12, 17 through 21, Colossians 3, 12 through 14. You can tell I've had to put these in me. And these are things that I've been doing. I've been meditating on things that I've been doing. And it's amazing to see what will happen. It's like, praise God, the power that is in that word gets in you. It's a strength that happens on the inside of you. And this is what the scripture says would happen, how it would flow, how it would work through you. It says in Romans chapter 2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from. This is Paul answering his own question that he had before. How am I going to be delivered from this body of death? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin. Well, how does that work? Those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. That place of carnal mindedness is what keeps us in a place of bondage. But what is the law of the Spirit of life hinge on? Being spiritually minded. In other words, it's not just me thinking the Bible. The law of the Spirit of life, when I'm spiritually minded, goes into operation in my life. And it makes me free from, again, I'm not doing this, I'm not making me free from, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it's making me free from the law of sin and death. And you'll notice here, the carnal mind is not only enmity against God, it's not only subject to the law of God, but it can't be. In other words, when I'm here, I cannot live in victory if I stay in this place. When I'm taking this step, I'm just breaking that carnal mindedness and saying, I'm going to get spiritually minded on this. Yeah, but what they did, and yeah, but this area, I can get spiritually minded, because even though the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, indeed, and can't be, the spiritual mind is subject to the law of God and can be. So you begin to realize there is power here when I begin to think in line with the Word of God. So what is happening, and take a look at one more scripture here too. For strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, make straight paths for your feet so that which is lame may not be dislocated, but rather healed. What am I saying here? As you're going from here, before you get to there, there will be a healing. It's a process. It's a healing. It's not a quick hit. It's not like I hide three scriptures in my mind and boom. I am sowing, I'm letting that Word of God dwell in me richly, and that Word of God is changing me. It is giving me the power and the strength that I need to overcome. It's the one thing I'm doing. I'm just gonna hide that Word of God in my heart. And this is why it works that way. Stubborn about not stopping sowing. You can have a spiritual, I keep hearing the Word of God over and over and over again. And the power of that Word, and all of a sudden you get it in your heart. Yeah, those words will cause you to think in line with God's Word. It will change the way you think. And what will happen is you realize something. It's a very humbling revelation and realization. If you've ever done this and overcome something, the thing that really kept me back here was unbelief. I just believe it's the Word of God. And when I begin to handle the Word of God as the Word of God, precious promises, if I can beat one thing, I can beat anything. Because I didn't beat it. It was the power. It was the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free. All I did was sow to the Spirit. You're a different person over here. You think different over here. Those thoughts come at you, and it's like, there are some things in life that require this. Deal with this kryptonite that I'm dealing with. I'm going to get in the Word of God. Yeah, we need a devotion time. We need time with God. But when you're doing this, it's kind of like you're always having a devotion time. When you begin to have a lifestyle like that, you begin to look like this guy. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked. There's nothing he's trying to do. It's just something that happens to him while he's meditating day and night. Strength. And what's the difference between a little sapling and a tree? You are being transformed. Things are happening in here. Things are happening in that cocoon of your meditating in the Word of God. I'm just being spiritually minded. I'm setting my mind on the Word of God. And life and peace comes. If anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, yeah, you did forgive me. The Holy Spirit will begin to talk to you. That's powerful. But what is this? This is so hard of getting yourself to repent when you really don't want to. You're going to have to really simplify things because you know those areas with you while you're doing that one thing. God is blessed when you're doing that one thing. God, I can't do it. I've tried. I've tried to live right, to do right. I need help. How to perform mind. And within that spiritual mindedness, the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus begins to go to work in me. You know, those things are just contrary to our natural thinking, but the Holy Spirit will begin to show you things. Yes, you'll get to know His Word better. And like I said, you crack one nut, you're powerful than my kryptonite, than my failures, and that is the Word of God. Investment of your time you can make. Sow to the Spirit. How you're able to change us, you're able to transform us. Lord, as we just allow, give them grace, not to come to you to promise to never do that thing again, but to come to you and empty themselves, come from thinking to being spiritually minded, to letting the Word and the promises get in the inside of them. Thank you, Lord, for just ministering this to their hearts, Father.